This is Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz. Those of you who take the T to work or ride the commuter rail have probably noticed that the stations aren't all in tip-top shape. Some have got crumbling concrete, others leaky pipes, maybe you've looked up, noticed some peeling paint. Well, turns out the MBTA agrees. A preliminary review of facilities showed that more than half are in need of significant repairs. But what's the T to do? Especially given that they're still struggling with an issue that's, for most riders, a higher priority: reliable train service. For more, we're joined by former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and vocal advocate for transit improvements, Jim Aloisi. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Jim.
Thanks for having me here, Evan.
Oh, it's amazing to have you here, to sit across the table from you. I've been reading your stuff for so long. I'm sure you've seen the Globe's reporting on this morning, if not the MBTA review itself. What did you make of this finding that 57% of MBTA facilities need significant repair?
Well, the number is shocking, although I would say as a frequent transit rider, anyone who's using the system probably sort of knew this already just by observation, right?
It's an open secret.
It's an open secret. I'm delighted, by the way, and high marks to the T for being transparent about these issues. I think it's important that they've done this, and I think it's good for them that they've done it. But now it raises the question whether we can chew gum and walk at the same time. We have to invest in service reliability stuff at the T. But we can't
That's ignore. The making the trains run
making
part.
Making the trains run without delay and on time and providing a level of customer service. But we also have to have stations that aren't have, you know, like the Boston Logan Blue Line that aren't peeling, the ceiling isn't peeling off on them. And you have to have parking facilities where people can safely park their cars.
Without concrete falling.
Without concrete
falling. I mean, there was this
falling.
Issue at Alewife, right?
Yeah. Right, at Alewife. And you have to have, you know, an elevators that 6 months after, more than 6 months after the winter storm, still don't function at Aquarium Station. So you see these issues at stations and parking facilities. Some of it is because they lack resilience. Some of it is because there's a state of good repair gap. Some of it is because perhaps we need to reassess our routine and program maintenance protocols. So it's not just one factor, it's many.
But behind a lot of those factors, money.
Behind every factor is money. And I think it goes to, you know, those folks who think that we can do everything we need to do at the T with the current revenue stream are just plain out wrong. And every time the T, to its credit, is transparent about its needs, it proves that reform without revenue is a losing proposition. It's always been a losing proposition. It continues to be.
Now, Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack told the Globe that repairing or upgrading facilities is just not as high a priority as buying new vehicles or improving tracks or equipment. You think that's fair? I mean, this gets back to the walk and chew gum issue. Do you think that's a fair response or not really?
I think it's a false equivalency with all respect. Of course, everyone needs a safe and reliable system. But imagine buying a new fleet of red or orange line cars that get stuck in a facility that it's going to rain on them or that it's going to some pieces of concrete will fall. It doesn't make sense to make the investments we're making in new cars and new systems and not also think about the quality of the associated infrastructure. It says a lot about how we think about transit when we let situations like the crumbling parking facility at Alewife or like the peeling ceiling at Logan Airport, or the failed elevators at Aquarium. It says a lot about how we think about transit when we basically let those things fester and don't think of them as an equal priority.
But reform. I mean, you mentioned the mantra that has been sort of the leading mantra of the MBTA, of this administration and prior administrations: reform before revenue. That is, if you don't get the governance working right at the MBTA, it doesn't matter how much money you throw at them. They won't use it properly, and that's not how you want to handle things.
I think the penny pinchers who like to penny pinch will never have enough reform. There'll always be more reform before there's any revenue. We desperately need net new revenue to invest in the system, both in state of good repair and in fighting this issue, this growing issue of resilience, particularly on the Blue Line, and in doing strategic expansions. The MBTA, for example, is going to be a hearing next Monday, a week from today, on the subject of connecting the red and blue lines. It's not even in their plan to connect the red and blue lines. You need to have money to be able to do these strategic expansions. Otherwise, I really fear access to jobs, access to health care, access, the kind of access that makes our quality of life strong, will begin to diminish.
It does seem like when you add it up, though, it can seem really daunting to generate the kind of revenue needed to fix all these problems. I mean, we have the service reliability issues.
Yes.
We have now the station repair issues. And then you're talking about expansions, new connectors, red and blue, North Station, South Station. Is there really a path to the kind of revenue needed to produce a system that would make you happy?
There's a path, and you don't do everything at once, right? But there is a path. And I think you need to think about one of the leading problems in transportation mobility in the greater Boston area these days is traffic congestion. It's chronic. It's growing. It's a danger to our economy. It's actually a danger to our quality of life. Everyone knows it. Everyone sees it every day. The only way to get out of that is to invest in alternative modes, and transit is that mode, whether it's intercity rail, which we call commuter rail, or whether it's the inner core system of subway and bus. That's the way to reduce congestion. Look, we say we care about emissions and air quality and quality of life. Our policies today are encouraging the use of more vehicles, whether it's Uber or Lyft. That's the issue with the red and blue. If you live, if you work in Kendall Square and you need to get to the airport in a hurry on a business, on a plane for business, you can't get there on the T. It's not possible. So you take Uber or Lyft, or you drive.
Are you agnostic as to where the revenue comes from, or you have preferences? Like, imagine you're in charge once again with even greater powers than you had in the past, right?
And you get to decide. Swelling.
Yeah. Okay. Swell. Let it swell. Right. Does it matter to you, or you think there's a better approach? Say the millionaire's tax, raising the income tax, vehicle miles traveled to charge people based on how much they drive, gasoline tax. There are lots of paths. Does it matter which path we take?
I think it matters. I'm more of a proponent of looking to the transportation sector. So, for example, we don't really charge Uber and Lyft enough for the impacts that they have on the system. Let's revisit the legislation that was passed a few years ago and get it right. We didn't get it right the first time. And let's charge them for their impacts. We're not doing that now. How about a carbon impact fee on every non-residential parking space in Boston and Cambridge and dedicating that money to transit to save cycling lanes? We're not assessing vehicles for their impacts on emissions and for their impacts on congestion. If we began to do that in a fair and transparent way, we'd begin to unlock the funding paradigm.
I did like one thing in your piece, which is that you highlight the importance of the stop at Logan, just mm-hmm. because it's symbolic. Do you feel that way about that stop?
Yeah, for me, it is highly symbolic that we say we care about quality of life in transit. Here's our international airport, by the way, doing very well, more nonstop flights internationally than ever before, 38 million passengers this year. And if a passenger wants to have sustainable mobility, or a passenger gets off of Logan and is staying at the Marriott Long Wharf, that passenger's experience on the Blue Line begins with the ceiling that looks like you're in a third world country. It shouldn't have to be that way. And then if the passenger steps off at Aquarium with his or her bags, there's no elevator in service because the station is not resilient.
That's Jim Aloisi, former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and a principal at TriMount Consulting. Thanks so much for joining us.
Evan, it's been a pleasure.